So let me see, last week, how many people put their God goggles on at least once this week?
Yeah.
You did? Good job. Good job. I'm glad to hear that. We gained a heavenly perspective last week, looking at things through God's goggles, seeing things the way He sees it. And this week, I want to kind of take talk about a practical process. A practical process. Last week, we had a heavenly perspective, and now we're going to have a practical process. And this process relates to something that I have done now for just about over a year. And God has taken me through this journey, and I kind of want to invite you to walk with me on it. Share some of the things that He's done in me, and I pray that it will be useful for you, because that's part of the reason, one of the things we need to do is share and encourage one another. As you know, a lot of what precipitated this, and God has used it, is our lack of steady employment over the last year and a half in terms of what God has used. And we believe we followed Him down a path that a particular job situation, did not work out the way we had hoped it would. And so we have continued to trust Him daily. And I've learned what that means more than ever before, that He is faithful. And some things you can't learn until you actually walk them, walk through them. And that's kind of what we've done. And what I would like to share with you is something that He has had me do almost every day. I get up in the morning, generally spend my time with the Lord, and I'll spend time with Him. I will read my Bible, reading, trying to do a Bible in the year. I know a lot of you are doing that too. But then in addition, He has given me what I call my promise scriptures for throughout this time. And He gave them to me, it has to be at least over almost a year and a half ago to 2 years ago now. And so I have added these scriptures every day on top of my regular reading. I go back and I read them. Sometimes I read them out loud, and I encourage you, if you're not in the habit, every once in a while, read scripture out loud. Something about it is transformative. When you begin to actually read these words of God, they come alive. In our mind, it's great, but there are times you begin to read them and you grab hold of them in a more experiential and transformational way. And so I'll do that. And what I'm going to do is simply walk through them with you, kind of go the way I have, and explain some of them and see what their focus is. Because most of them, all of them, surprisingly, focus on a relationship with Jesus and what that means. I know, big surprise. But these are the ones that, you know, I go to, I cling to them, they wrap their arms around me and I rest in them. And it starts off in Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5. And a lot of these scriptures are going to be very familiar to you, but these are the ones that He's made incredibly important to me during this time. And I'm again reading out of the New Century Version. He says, "Trust the Lord and do good. Live in the land and feed on truth. Enjoy serving the Lord, and He will give you what you want. Depend on the Lord, trust Him, and He will take care of you." Now, just in that, there's some incredible promises. And you just have to read it and you go, yeah, you can see why. But as we begin to take a look at some of the words, you'll begin to really get what this has done. And I always look for, and this actually comes from my days sitting at Living Faith Fellowship in Pullman with Pastors Carl, Sherry, and Pastor Kevin, in preaching that always said, what is the practical application of Scripture? Look for the practical application of what you can do. And so I see this, it's trust, enjoy, depend. Trust, enjoy, depend are the things that really jump out to me in this. Trust. What does it mean to trust the Lord is who we're? Strong's number, if you're a Strong's person, it's Strong's number 982. And guess what it means? To trust. Wow. Deep, isn't it? To trust in, to have confidence, to be confident, to be bold, to be secure. We like people that are confident. We are drawn to confidence. We are drawn to security. We don't like people if they're going to, you know, if you got your captain comes on as you're flying, you're getting in your airplane, he goes, "Hi, this is your captain, and I think that things are going to go okay today." I'm hoping, look, you know, I kind of am hoping the engines work the whole way, and, you know, you're not going to be very excited about that. We like confidence. I watch my middle daughter, Kelly. As you know, she loves horses. And I watch her now. Here I am, I'm 6'2", not a huge guy, but I, you know, and I see horses. And they scare the you-know-what out of me. They're huge! You seen a horse? These things are huge! My little daughter, she walks up to them and just, come here, you. And she just tells them what to do, and they do it. Do you know why? Because she's confident. She's bold. She's secure. And they're secure in her. And she's secure in who they are. They know each other. There's a relationship there. They have trust in one another. And that's what God wants us to have in Him. A confidence. We're confident in who God is. It also means to cause, to trust, make secure, feel safe. And here's the cool one that I like. Be careless. To the point, you know, have you ever been where you're just in a situation where you're so confident you can be careless? I think of those little, what are those, bouncy houses? You know, they fill up with air and they're all, you know what? You can do whatever you want in those things. You can jump against the sides, you can bounce. It doesn't matter because you're just going to bounce. I also think if I asked one of you guys, okay, we've got a tightrope between two poles. It's up at 60 feet. And there's a cord like this. Do you want to walk on it? How many of you would say, yes, I'm ready today? Not I. But if I said, okay, what we've got is a contraption set up, so in that same situation, we can put you in a full body harness, absolutely 100% secure, no matter what you do, you're going to be okay. Now how many would be willing to say, okay, I'll give that a shot. That'd be kind of fun. You can be careless because you're secure. You can try new things. You can do things you wouldn't do because you are secure. And you can rest that you are taken care of. That's what God wants you to do in Him. Trust in Him so much that you can be careless in a really good way in your relationship with Him. That maybe there's something new and exciting He wants you to do. Maybe He wants you to step out in a way you've never stepped out before. But you know what? It's okay, because who's got me? He does. It also means, when you go to the lexical definition of it, it literally means to attach oneself to. This trust literally means to attach. Kind of like you've heard, they're attached at the hip. That's what this is describing. You and Jesus attached at the hip. Wherever you go, He goes. Wherever He goes, you go. The two of you are always there together. You know people like that. Wherever one goes, the other one's always there. That's what this describes you're supposed to do with Jesus. That's what trust is. Wherever you are attached at the hip, there is no getting you guys apart. So much so you can be careless. That's trust. Then, enjoy. Here we go. Trust the Lord and do good. Live in the land and feed on truth. Enjoy serving the Lord. Enjoy is the word delight, which is Strong 6026. And here it goes. And hang with me, guys, because some of you are going to have the reaction I did. It means to be soft, to be delicate, to be dainty. To be dainty. I kind of went, come on, I'm a man. I ain't into this dainty stuff. But it means to be pliable. It means to be soft. It means to be moldable. To be shaped into whatever form God wants you to be. If you will be that way in serving Him. It also, you know, the things you think, the special things. Does anybody have something really special? You've got something really special, like an heirloom, and maybe it's a glass or a silver, or you know, like, what am I thinking of? Something that has been handed down for generations, that you keep in that very special place in the cupboard that nobody gets to handle. except you. And when you take it out to look at it, what do? You just hold it so carefully. And you're so ready. If anything happens, you just go, you adjust. Hey, oh my gosh, I'm ready to do whatever it needs to take care of it. I'm so careful with this. God wants us to be just like that with Him. God, what do you want me to do? What is it you want me to do, Lord? I'm so sensitive. I'm so soft. God, speak to me. I'm so ready. In the way that I'm following you, whatever you want me to do, you tell me and I will do it. And it also reminded me of somebody we delight in. Do you have somebody you delight in? That super special someone? That you know you're so close to that you know you call silly names. Ooh, my little pumpkin umpkin. Ooh, my little ooby-dooby-dooby-doo. That one that just is so special, you don't care what other people think. You say things like rough, rough. That's the one we have. Because we delight in one another. That's how God wants you to be. He's, you know what? That's the way you are to Him. So much so that He died for you. You were so special to Him. He delighted so much in you that He died. And he treasures you. That's crazy that the God of the universe would feel that way about each one of us. But He does. And that's how He wants us to be in our relationship with Him. So we trust, we enjoy, and then we depend on the Lord. And that word is Strong's 1556, King James, it's commit. And it means to roll, or to roll away, to roll down, to roll together. It literally means to take something and to roll it on to somebody else. You take what you've got and you roll it on to them. So whatever burden, whatever care, whatever concern, you take it and you roll it in this context. You roll it onto Him. And it reminded me of that game, and I don't know, and I'm not going to do it now, especially with my neck. But remember that game where two people, one person lies down, and the other person stands over, and this one grabs his ankles, and then you grab this ankle? Ever done that? Yep. And then you jump and roll. And then you jump, and the other person goes around, up, down, whoop, deep, down, up, burn, down. And I would love to do it now, but I wouldn't, because then you'd be taking me to the hospital right away. But it's that rolling together that is built on total trust. Because what happens if one person lets go? Ouch. You roll together. You're rolling. There's just a clinging, a trusting in, a dependence upon one another. That's what Jesus wants you to have in your relationship with Him. And again, it all boils down. I'm going to go down to this, and it just all comes back to it. Because it all boils down to relationship. Everything boils down to relationship with Him. A close, intense, inseparable, passionate, completely given over to relationship. Nothing held back. Everything given. And that's the challenge for us, is to give everything. Because we like to hold on to things. Sure, Lord, I'll give you everything except. And each one of us, it's different. But He says, no, all of it. Trust in me. Attach yourself to me because I am trustworthy. It's the kind of relationship, and you know the people, where one person starts a story and the other one finishes it. And tells it, oh no, that wasn't the way it happened. You're going, what happened to me? I don't care, it's not the way it happened. Here's the way it happened. They finish one another's sentences and they start to look like one another. Have you noticed that? They do. I love those pictures, especially pets and their masters. You ever seen those after a while? They do. They start to look like one another. I don't know who that's a compliment to and who that's a slam to, but And people do that too, though. The longer they're together, the more they begin to look like one another. And that's what's happening in your life as you spend time with Jesus, as you have that daily relationship and trust in Him. You know who you start looking like? Jesus. You want to know what Jesus looks like? Look in the mirror. And don't be ashamed of it. I don't say that in a proud or arrogant way, but He created you. He lives in you. He is transforming you to be His expression in the earth today. And I think sometimes we're so hung up on, oh no, I'm just flesh and I'm just so weak and so difficult, you know, that I think we do Him a disservice. He lives in us. His transforming power is changing us so that when I, by grace alone, it has nothing to do with me. I'm simply cooperating. But I can look and say, yes, that is an expression of Christ in the earth today. And I want to give it to people. And I'm excited to do that. I'm excited to share that with others. Not, oh, I just don't want to really offend anybody and I just may hurt some feelings. No, you know what? I want to love people. Because it took people loving on me to bring me into this kingdom. I don't know about you. But it took people bold enough and willing enough to believe they were Christ's hands extended. They were an extension of Christ Himself to reach out to me to bring me here. And that's what it's going to take for some people, for you, to bring some people into this kingdom. Is believe you are Him in the earth today. So the actions that I see, and I take them actions results. Trust the Lord, depend on the Lord, enjoy serving the Lord. The results, He will give you what you want, and He will take care of you. He'll give me what I want. That's a rather bold statement. It is. And it's scriptural. It's scriptural. Now, can it be abused? Sure it can. But here's what I believe, in the context of what we're talking about, the relationship, when you have as close a relationship as is described here, each person in the relationship is going to want what the other wants. Absolutely. He is going to provide for me what I want because it is going to be what He wants. I'm going to want what He wants. So of course He will provide it for me. He will take care of me. Because we're attached to one another. Now, some of you may not get this. Some of you may. So I'm going to kind of bring you into today's culture a little bit. It could be, in some ways, it could be said you're kind of a part of His crew. And you roll together. This is the way you roll together. And I'm sitting watching for some semblance. There we go. We got some over there. All right. That's all right, guys. The rest of you, hang on. You roll. That's right. What is it? Word. I don't get it. I don't, trust me, I don't get it, but I do know the rolling together. He loves to have a relationship with you. He longs to have a deeper one. And that's why it is so important, and I know it's emphasized here, every day take time. Every day take time. Next scripture, Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Most of you are very familiar with this one. Trust the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on your own understanding. Remember the Lord in all you do and He will give you success. Don't depend on your own wisdom. Respect the Lord and refuse to do wrong. Then your body will be healthy and your bones will be strong. I love the New Century. It makes it a rhyme, a little bit of a poetry there. I kind of love the way that puts together. Don't depend on your own wisdom. Respect the Lord and refuse to do wrong. Then your body will be healthy and your bones will be strong. Trust there is the same word we just had. That clinging to, that attachment, that carelessness I'm so confident in. Trust the Lord with all your heart. That's Strong's 3820. It's your inner man, your mind, your will, your heart, your understanding, your knowledge, your thinking, your reflection, your memory. Kind of everything. Trust Him. Attach to Him with everything in your life. And when you say everything, yeah, everything. It says there, don't depend on your own understanding. And we know that is, if you know it in the King James, it's lean not unto your own understanding. This word is Strong's 8172. It means to lean on, to trust in, to support. And it comes from a time when kings would come in to a gathering and their close friends, They're close here. You want to be my close friend? Come on. Come on, stand up. They're close friend. I get to be the king, okay? Is that all right? I get to be the king? You want to be the king?
Okay.
Oh, you be it. They would come in, and literally it's when they would lean on. As they walked in, the other person would be supporting them. They could come in, and I would lean on them and trust in them to hold me up, to get me where I need to go. There's a dependence there because we have trust in one another. Thank you. You can be the king next time, okay? And what it says is, don't do that with your own understanding. Don't lean on you. It means trust in the Lord. Don't lean on you. Wait a minute! God gave me a brain, didn't He? Aren't I supposed to think? Aren't I supposed to have understanding? What am I supposed to use it for? Well, yes, He did. And what He gave it to you for is to choose to attach yourself to Him. And find out His way. His way of thinking. His way of viewing things. That's why you need God goggles. So you get His perspective, so then you lean on that. Peter, when he was standing in the boat and he saw Jesus and he said, Lord, if it's You, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. Peter had to make a choice. Am I going to depend on my own wisdom and understanding? And his own understanding told him what? If I get out of this boat, I'm going to sink. That's his understanding. But instead, I said, no, I'm not going to lean on or trust in that. I am going to depend on Him. And he stepped out, and he walked. And he walked. Now he began to sink because he started to look at circumstances and trust in his own wisdom again. Thankfully, Jesus was there to save him. But in our relationships, in everything, in what we're doing, who are we looking to? And that's why you've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit all the time. That's why you've got to have that intimate relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit, because He will direct you. He will give you wisdom. He will tell you what to do. Jesus, every time He came into Jerusalem, I guarantee, every time He walked in and He saw what was happening in the temple, where they were selling and doing things they weren't supposed to, He was angry. But only two times did God give Him permission to turn the tables over and to get people out of there. I bet every time he wouldn't have minded it because he was angry every time. But what's the expression? So that's why, apply it to today. You know what? I don't know what you're going to do, but the Holy Spirit does. And it might be something different today than it will be tomorrow. That's why, to me, if anybody says Christianity is boring, they really have no clue about what a relationship with Jesus Christ is. Because it is anything but boring. I don't know what He's going to tell me to do today. But if I'm expectant and I've got that relationship, it's going to be exciting. I might get to go come over and preach to a group of great people. Ah. If we're willing to, it will transform us. We've had this year, due to some medical situations, some hospital bills that piled up. And due to the insurance plan that we have, high deductibles, it was going to be a pretty big hit. I said, okay, well, we'll take it day at a time and make it work. And then I saw that there is a thing that you could, if you ask for financial assistance, the hospital has a thing you can do that with. And normally I don't do that because I'm proud. And I don't like calling and talking to people. I'm not a calling and talking on the phone type of person. I really am not. That's not my thing to do very much. And I'm also not that great at times about talking about my finances and situation I'm in. But you know what? I felt this was the right thing to do. So I did. We walked through the process. I was willing to do that. And God took these hospital bills and relieved 100% of the debt. Because not leaning on what I want to do, humbling myself and being willing to say, okay, you know, here's my situation. I don't like doing that. I don't like admitting that I'm financially not where I'd like to be. But for some reason, he said, yeah, I think it's okay for you. Trust me. And so I have. And he's done that. And it builds my confidence in him. And not in me. And I'm willing, Lord, if you want me to do that, please give me the strength to be able to humble myself again so that you're glorified. And again, incredible blessings have flowed our direction too. It's amazing what God can do if we're willing to trust in him. And then it says to remember the Lord in all you do. Remember the Lord in all you do, and he will give you success. Remember, there is the word to know. It's yada, which actually I believe is a word for worship too. But it describes incredible intimacy. It actually, in some instances, is used to describe carnality, to know someone physically, intimately. That's what this word literally, that close of a relationship. That's to know, to remember him, to know him in all we do. And if we will trust him and his ways, it says, and all you do are the ways, Strong's 1870, the way, the road, the distance, the journey, a manner, in everything you do every day. And I think God wants us there. Because sometimes we have this impression, Lord, in the big things, in my big things, what I'm going to do for my ministry and my life, Lord, I need to seek you in. Yeah, you do. But you know what he says? You need to seek me in the little things. So you get used to hearing my voice. You need to seek me in each particular instance that you are in every day. And trust me and watch what can happen. 50 years ago, a gentleman named Loren Cunningham was a Bible student. Some of you may recognize that name. As a young ministry student, he had a vision of waves crashing over the earth. Waves that turned into thousands of young people taking the gospel to every nation. 50 years later, that dream is one of the most influential missions movement in history. At the age of 25, joined by a small band of Jesus freaks who shared his vision that spirit-filled young people could be world changers, Cunningham founded Youth with a Mission, YWAM. Amid the hippie counterculture of the 1960s, at a time when short-term missions was virtually unheard of, YWAM ignited a missions revolution that sent waves of teenagers and college students proclaiming Jesus across oceans and continents. Today, YWAM is active in more than 150 nations. It's estimated that 2.5 million people have participated in its missions training or short-term outreaches. Do you know why? It's because Loren Cunningham didn't depend upon his own understanding. Because he remembered God in everything. And he said, Lord, I trust you in everything. And step by step and day by day, God built this ministry that's reaching millions. Because he was willing to, in everything that he does, remember God. Acknowledge him and do it his way. Says also, respect the Lord. Don't depend on your own wisdom. Respect the Lord. That is, fear the Lord. In King James, fear the Lord and refuse to do wrong. Respect or fear, Strong's 3372, means to fear, to revere, to be afraid, to stand in awe of, to be awed, to be fearful, be dreadful, or be feared, to cause astonishment and awe, to be held in awe, to inspire reverence or godly fear or awe. God is a God to be feared. And I think sometimes, understanding that, we miss, and in this generation, we have forgotten. I love Rich Mullen's song, Awesome God. It says, I think that we have quickly too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God. And yet, it's awe and how amazing and how incredible. And that's what worship, quite honestly, is one of the places that I touch that the most. I see and I stand in awe of how incredible God is. And if you want to go to a place that might inspire some of this, it is crazylovebook.com. Francis Chan's website, Crazy Loves a Book, and on there it says, what's the name of it? It's an awe-inspiring experience. And what he does is he takes you, and some of you may have seen this video, he takes you from Earth, where they are in the Earth right there, and he pulls it step by step. He backs up into the universe until he's 100 million light years away. And you begin to see what God has made. And if that does not inspire awe in you, I don't think anything else will. When you begin to understand the fact that when I tell my fingers to close together, they do. Do you know the process that's involved in that? What happens between in your brain, your eyes, your brain, your fingers, and that's what happens. But if you'd actually follow that process, you'd go, wow! That's awe, but then there's also fear. And trust me, I fear God. And I don't think that's wrong. When I look in the Scriptures and I see God loved His people enough to do what He did, to send judgments, to send nations, to defeat them, to take them captive, to do what He did to them, because of love. His judgments were always because of love to bring His people back. But do you think He's changed? And I'm very, very careful. I think some people say, oh, this hurricane came or this came, it's the judgment of God. And everybody goes, oh, no, God would never do that. On both ends, I go, how do you know? Scripturally, I've got justification for both. You bet God can send things like that to judge because He loves. And there are times that He doesn't. I'm real careful to say one way or the other, and I think we all should be. But we should fear a God who can. And it's good motivation to live the way He's created us to live. And quite honestly, I look at this, what's going on with me? You know, God, if this is something You're trying to get at me, something in my life, then help me to be open to it. Help me to respond to it. I don't know. And I think that's okay. I really do. I'm not just people that stand up and say, oh, God never sends pain to anybody. He never hurts the innocents. I'm going, what Bible are you reading? I don't mean that harshly. It's an overarching theme of love. But He loves us enough to do things that we don't understand. So I don't mean to, but that's part of the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And that's an important part of our relationship with Him. So our actions in this, trust the Lord with all your heart, remember the Lord in all you do. Respect the Lord, refuse to do wrong, don't depend on your own understanding or wisdom. He will give you success. And you'll be healthy. Some pretty good promises. Some pretty good promises. Moving on, Matthew 6, 25 through 24. So what I'll do, like I said, I'll read those two verses together. Sometimes I'll read them out loud and I'll reflect on them. Then I'll move to Matthew 26, 25 through 24. So I tell you, don't worry about the food or drink you need to live or about the clothes you need for your body. Life is more than food and the body is more than clothes. Look at the birds in the air. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but your heavenly Father feeds them. And you know that you are worth much more than the birds. You cannot add any time to your life by worrying about it. And why do you worry about clothes? Look at the lilies look how the lilies in the field grow. They don't work or make clothes for themselves, but I tell you that even Solomon with his riches was not dressed as beautifully as one of these flowers. God clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today, but tomorrow is thrown into the fire. So you can be even more sure that God will clothe you. Don't have so little faith. Don't worry and say, what will we eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear? The people who don't know God keep trying to get these things, and your Father in heaven knows you need them. Seek first God's kingdom and what God wants. Then all your other needs will be met as well. So don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will have its own worries. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And you can say amen to that. Amen. It does. So the key here, first and foremost, don't worry. Be happy. That's right. We had a song about that. Don't know Andy. Don't be anxious, stressed out about what you're going to eat and what kind of clothes you're going to wear. From an article written by Joyce Meyer, she says, afraid of fear? There are many types of fear we could name or count. And fear and worry are very closely related. Fear is at the root of worry. Because we're afraid that God won't provide. We're afraid that something won't happen. She says, we often think fear is simply an emotion or feeling, but it also affects us physically. In Who Switched Off My Brain, author Carolyn Leaf notes, fear triggers more than 1,400 known physical and chemical responses and activates more than 30 different hormones and neurotransmitters. Fear, she says, is at the root of all stress. When fear causes a stress reaction, it actually marinates the body in toxic chemicals. Now you know why I said don't worry. Because when you worry, it is toxic. Worry is toxic to your body. And God wants you to trust. An example, Time magazine printed a story in August 1989. Shows how utterly destructive and controlling fear can be. It reported that Charles Bodek, a retiree who had received several tick bites during fur trapping expeditions, grew fearful that he had contracted Lyme disease. He was also concerned he had transmitted it to his wife. Despite many medical tests and repeated assurances from doctors that he was not infected and passing the disease to his wife was impossible because he didn't have it, Bodek remained terrified. His fear so completely controlled him that eventually he killed his wife and himself with a shotgun. When police searched his mailbox after the incident, they found it crammed with information on Lyme disease and a note confirming yet another doctor's appointment for a test. It consumes you. Worry consumes you. And it makes it toxic. Worry doesn't do any good. It destroys. That's why God said, don't do it. Don't do it. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what kind of clothes you're going to wear. And I, you know, if I'm going to get a little partial here, I think maybe the food was for the men and the clothes were kind of for the women. Because, you know, at least around my house sometimes, what I'm going to wear is a pretty big event. I don't have anything to wear! Just talking to my daughter last week. Dad, I don't do tennis. I've got 30 things in your closet, but I just don't have anything to wear. What am I going to wear? I'm like going, clothes? Such a man. Such a man. I know it. When it comes to what I'm going to eat. There you go. Mm-hmm. What did he say? He said, don't worry, but instead, here's the positive, and here's what we're supposed to do. Seek God's kingdom and what God wants. That's what we're supposed to seek. And that word seek there, it comes with an expectancy inherent in it. That word seek there comes with an expectancy inherent in it that you're going to find it. It's an expect. You are going to find it. You can ask my daughters about a month or so on my birthday. We went fishing with my brother. My brother is a fisherman. Period. He loves to fish, has loved to fish. He's got his own. He fishes all the time, fishes everywhere. You step on the boat with my brother, and there's one thing you know. You are going to catch fish. It is a done deal. You are going to catch fish. And guess what? When we went out, what would we catch? We caught fish. What's his phone number? Yeah, I was going to say. Caught a big fish. Caught a nice 20-pounder. And I believe a lot of it because he knows. He has confidence. He knows where to fish. He knows how to fish. He is expectant that he's going to catch fish. And that's what God says when we are to seek His kingdom. We have an expectancy that we are going to find it. We sing a song. And we were going to sing it Today it's righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. I think we're saying it. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. It's where Scripture it is. It's from a Scripture that says the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. So when you seek, you can expect you're going to find righteousness. You can expect you're going to find peace. You can expect you're going to find joy. Why? Because you're going to find Him. And in Him is righteousness. In Him is peace. In Him is joy. That's what He wants us to be seeking, is relationship with Him. The result of not worrying and seeking first God's kingdom, all your needs will be met. It's a promise. You can trust Him. Lastly, Matthew 7:7-11. Ask and God will give to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will open for you. Yes, everyone who asks will receive. Everyone who searches will find. And everyone who knocks will have the door opened. If your children ask for bread, which of you would give them a stone? Or if your children ask for a fish, would you give them a snake? Even though you are bad, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more your Heavenly Father will give good things to those who ask Him? No wonder Jesus was offensive. I mean, even in this, I just saw it. Even in this, He goes, you know, even though you're bad, I mean, what a way to win friends and influence people. Now, even though you're bad, you know how to give good things to your kids. But you're bad. He goes, thanks, Lord. And pat me on the back there. Make me feel better. Because He knew the reality of a relationship. He had to recognize you're bad before you can become good in Him. But He says here, what are we supposed to do? And I know you've heard this before, but like I said, when I put these all together, this is what has incredibly helped me. We're supposed to ask, and in context, all of these verbs are, I can't remember the name of it, but it's what it means. You do it again and again and again and again and again. You ask and you keep on asking. And you keep on asking. You seek and you keep on seeking. Or you search and you keep on searching. It isn't a one-time thing. It's a continual, constant thing. You ask and you ask and you ask and you search and you search and you search and you knock and you knock and you knock and you knock and you knock. That's what it talks about here. It's not passive. It's not just, oh, I think someday I'll just kind of do, maybe check out. No, you're intense about it. You are intense in what you're doing. And my kids are the best example of this for me. They're pretty intense about asking Dad and Mom, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Can we have ice cream? 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 Can we watch a movie? 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 It is incessant. It's non-stopping. And it's focused. And it's built on relationship. They know me. They know us. You know, interesting though, I've noticed, maybe you've had this with your children, maybe not. If you haven't, come tell me how you did this. Most of the time it's not, can we do our chores? Can we do our chores? Can we do our chores? Please, please, please. Can I clean my room? Can I clean my room? Can I help you do something? Question is, what do we ask God for? And what do we ask Him for? Interestingly enough, though, with my kids, I have found over the years the thing that they most want is to be with us. Can I come? Can I be with you? Because they want relationship. And I think that describes us and our Heavenly Father. I want to be with Him. Can I come, Dad? Where are you going? Can I come? Can I do what you're doing? And you know what His response always is? Yeah. Yes, you can. Come along. I've just been waiting. Ask, seek, knock. And results of it, God will give. You will find, and the door will open. It's not always what we expect, but we'll always get what we need. So as I read these scriptures every day, sometimes I'll come to them and I will have had a night where I've woken up in the middle of the night and I start wondering, what am I going to do? When I think about my bank account and what's not in it, and that I've got three daughters that I want to go to college, that there's things I want to be able to go and take them to the places we've ministered in the world and have them experience that. When I think about this thing, supposedly somebody said there's a thing supposedly called retirement. I know none of you guys know about it because it hasn't happened for you. And you know, if I start playing that tape over, you know what tries to creep in? The W word, yeah, and the F word. Fear and worry. But you know when I get up and I read these, you know what happens? It changes. It changes. Peace comes. Confidence comes. Expectancy comes. My heart gets full. And quite honestly, I get excited about what's going to happen today. What's going to happen today? What's going to come up today? You know what? Now I'm ready to get up and fill out more job applications. I'm ready to hunt and see what kind of jobs there may be. I'm ready to do whatever I need to do. I'm ready to walk through this day in whatever God brings my way. I'm ready to ask for provision. I'm ready to ask for the things that God has put on my heart for me and my family with expectancy that He is going to provide it. Most excitedly, though, it's not because I'm going to get things. It's because I'm getting closer to the giver of all things. I'm getting relationship. And the cool thing is, after this, I get up, and not only am I closer to Him and expectant, but I'm ready to give. I'm ready to bless others. Because my attention and my focus is no longer on me, but it's Him. And trusting in Him, and now being willing to give and bless others. Because the more deeply I know Him, the more deeply I am assured that I have no reason to worry. I was driving down to get on a plane, I don't know how many, about 6-8 months ago now, or more longer than that. And I was thinking about this. And I looked to my left and I saw, it was a beautiful day, I saw the Cascades. I looked to my right and I saw the Olympics. And I just kind of thought, you know, the God who created all that knows me. And He said, don't worry. So what business do I have worrying? And it helped. And I encourage you guys, it's the same for you. No matter what you're worrying about, don't. Doesn't mean don't think. When we talk about it, it's not disengaging your brain, but it's taking your brain and attaching it to Him. His principles. Who He is. And trusting no matter what comes out of it, He loves you. And He has your best in mind. Let's pray. Jesus, again, thank You so much for the privilege of being here. Thank You the fact that, God, why You have chosen to allow us to even have an opportunity for relationship with You is beyond me. Because we don't deserve it. But You've opened the door and You said, it's fully available. And Lord, I know that I've only begun to tap into it just a little. And I pray, as I pray for each one here, that we would hunger and thirst more. And that, Lord, as we choose to, that You would open up the heavens and open up Yourself as You long to, that our relationship with You might be closer and closer and more of what You created it to be. So that, Jesus, no matter what happens, we won't worry. So that we know that we're attached to You and we can trust in You, not depend on our own understanding, but depend upon You and You alone. Because that's when life gets exciting. And when we can really be about the business You created us for. And that's loving You and loving others. So help us in that. To simply come and trust in all that we do. And we thank You for it. And great thing is, Lord, we get to begin it in this life. And then for all eternity, we get to enjoy the fruit of it. Amen.